A new ensemble is making its home in the region. The Northwest Arkansas Men's Chorus begins rehearsing next month in preparation for its inaugural concert in December. Last week, Artistic Director Ryan Fox and Managing Director Jeff Walker stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio to talk with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Ryan says the project grew out of a chance meeting between himself and Jeff.
I was at a birthday party for a friend, and Jeff's partner Evan was at the party as well, and so I met Evan first, and we were all just sitting around a table talking, and Evan said, you know, hey, my partner wants to start a gay men's chorus, and my partner looked at Evan and said, Ryan's a choir director, and then that's where it all started, and Evan connected Jeff and I together.
Yeah, I actually started a men's chorus in Springfield, Missouri, and did that for about 3.5 years.
Is that where you're from?
That's the area that I'm from, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first shot at anything like that. I learned a lot about nonprofits. I learned a lot about creating a sense of community and kind of bringing the community together, using music to do it. I learned a lot through that process. And then when I came here, there really wasn't anything like that really across the state. So I was like, well, if I can do it in Missouri, I can do it here. And I know there's, if you're going to do it in an area of Arkansas, this is probably a good area to do it and start it out with. So what the heck?
So what's your background in music?
Jeff's background in music is not very much. Other than my mother was a praise and worship leader in a Pentecostal church. And I grew up kind of playing the piano back up for her, and then that was all by ear. I don't have a whole lot of training as far as college or anything like that goes. Just a love of music and a love of what a choir is capable of doing when they get together.
So did you sing in the choir too?
I do tend to sing in the choir, yeah.
Growing up, is that what you had to do as well when you weren't filling in for your mom?
It was a very small church.
Okay.
When we had a choir, which was usually just Christmas, I did get the chance to.
So how big was the choir, like 5?
9, I think.
Okay.
Did your school have a choir?
My school had a choir, but I played the trombone in band. Okay. And in my school, it wasn't very big, and you didn't get to do everything you wanted to do. So
you picked one or the other.
You picked one or the other, and I picked band.
Okay.
Gotcha. And my background, I guess, is a little more extensive. like a lot of Jeff, I started out as a kid taking piano lessons, singing at church, participating in band and choir at school. But I have 3 degrees in music, and I've been directing choirs either in schools or churches or both since about 2000.
And where are you directing now?
Rogers High School.
Did you sing as well, like in a choir or something growing up?
Oh, yes. And then all through college, you know, through my undergrad and graduate school, I was always singing. So
why did you decide to become a director?
Oh, you know, I don't really honestly know.
You don't get to sing as much as a director.
No, you don't. So, but it, and I actually prefer at this point in my life would rather direct than sing.
Why?
That it's just where I feel like my better skill is. I enjoy the creativity that comes from that end of the spectrum.
I should mention that when, you know, I met him through someone else, like he shared, and when I requested his resume to update our initial website presence, I was like, oh, I had no idea his extensive background, his degrees, what was going on there. When I got that, I was like, oh, okay, we're gonna do this. Yeah, absolutely.
You just thought you found another passionate soul.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what are you guys looking for your Northwest Arkansas Men's Chorus?
Our mission is to build community and celebrate diversity through music. So that's ultimately what we're really looking for, an organization that celebrates the diversity available to us, and that engages the community and the community out, builds a community in the choir, but engages the outside community with us as well. We're, you know, looking for a choir it's both an artistic outlet and it's also somewhat of a social justice outlet. So we're looking to, there are certain messages that we're hoping to send and participate with. And for our singers, we want to build you always want to build a quality product. But our first primary mission is community. So that's what we're really going for first and foremost, is a place where people can come together and be themselves through a performance medium that they enjoy. There are lots of people out there who were in choir in high school or college, and now there's really nothing for them to do. So we're just trying to engage all those aspects.
We've kind of identified that there's less there's some church choirs that are available, but there's less and less of that as we're seeing trends moving towards more more modern music approaches in the churches. So there's less church choir opportunities. And then if you maybe don't go to a church anymore, mm-hmm. You have really none as an adult or very little. So those are going to be our initial people that we're going to welcome to our new choir. We've sort of set a goal for the first concert to have 40 singers, to make 40 singers. Currently, we're at about 25 that have agreed to sign on with us and perform for that concert. And so we've set a goal that we think is pretty aggressive for an initial choir of this nature in this area. But we also know that it's very attainable, and we're over halfway there already. So.
So will there be auditions or tryouts, or can people, or do people just sign up?
Yes and no, and sort of, all the above.
Okay.
There is we're not going to have necessarily a formal audition process. Basically, we're going to use the first couple of weeks of rehearsal as a way to just informally assess people. And all really the only musical requirement is just the ability to match pitch.
Okay.
Beyond that, if you can match pitch, you're in. If you know, we're not looking for the most beautiful voices, the most polished voices. We're not looking for people who are great music readers. I mean, we want those people as well.
Sure.
Sure, we want everyone.
But if I can't, that shouldn't stop me from
trying. That should not stop you. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
We spent a lot of time thinking about this, talking about this, to make sure that we were all on the same page on who was our target membership. And who do we want to be able to be a part of the group? And the answer is anybody in the community that wants to be a part of it. We, of course, are a men's chorus, but we're looking for anybody who identifies as male. So that's gay or straight. That's it could involve it could be transgender, identified as male. As long as you can match the tenor one, tenor two, baritone, bass pitch level, you know, come talk to us. We'd love to have you join us.
And in keeping with that, as the artistic director, I'm more than willing to, if someone hasn't sung in a while and they're just not really sure what voice part they are. Am I a tenor? I used to be a tenor. Am I still a tenor? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I certainly will be happy to meet with those individuals one-on-one and just do a little assessment. And that way they find a place in the choir where they're most comfortable singing.
So how do you tackle organizing 40 voices? You know, my experience as a child, there'd be my first grade class, there's 20 of us. You put us with 20 kids from second grade to do the Christmas play, and we'd all sing, and it was cute, I guess. I don't know how it sounded to my poor parents, but with adults, I think you have a little more control. But how do you go about tackling making all those voices kind of blend together nicely?
Well, as you first hinted at, you know, adults are a little more focused than second graders. Not always a lot, but a little more. And so that helps. And, you know, there's both a physical and a psychological aspect to it. The physical, just part of the training I have, it just deals with how do you create blend in an ensemble. And that really comes down to taking the time to teach some vocal technique, to teach just some basic sound production concepts, things that you can teach just over a series of time, taking 5 or 10 minutes out of rehearsal. And that's what the rehearsal process then is all about, is just refining our sound, using the ear to listen to the people around you and ask that simple question, am I fitting in or sticking out? Mm-hmm. And things like that. But there's also then the psychological side. Choirs, people who want to be together, naturally their voices work better together. And when you create an environment that people come to do more than, they're there for more than just singing. They're there to interact with people. They like the people they interact with. They have some kind of bond with them. That translates also into this cohesion that translates into a cohesive sound.
In addition to singing and this being an outlet for local artists, you said part of the mission is to kind of tackle some social justice issues. How do you plan on doing that? Like, will you have somebody come give a lecture on something? Will you sing socially conscious songs? Like, what is your idea?
The idea that we're floating right now are socially conscious songs. You know, for example, different concerts and not every concert will necessarily have a hardcore social justice focus, but we might take a spring concert one year and focus on an issue that's important to us. And that could definitely involve a guest speaker that's woven into the concert. You know, we'll use a lot of visual media in projections, in part, choosing socially conscious songs that send a certain message. And it's just all through that, all the different ways you can project that message in the performance.
And a lot of that really has to do with not necessarily singing a social justice targeted song, mm-hmm. but maybe presenting a real common song or a song that you've heard in pop music or maybe in a movie in the last year, a soundtrack or something like that, and then presenting it in a way that gets you thinking about it in a different way, a different perspective on that. And like you said, pairing it with some visual media maybe to do that same kind of a thing, just to spark a thought, maybe I haven't thought about all the angles or who's affected by these kinds of decisions or what's, you know, what are some underlying issues that maybe you haven't thought about before.
And another way, and this is Jeff's idea, so I'm kind of stealing his thunder, but finding an organization in town or in the area whose mission you want to help promote and pairing with them. So perhaps an organization that helps work with the homeless population, mm-hmm. and pairing together in a concert to where you both receive benefit without putting money out. So, for example, we recognize them at our concert, we give them free ad space in our program, and then in some way they recognize us on their end. And that's another way to really kind of deal with a social justice issue that's mutually beneficial, not just to us, but to someone else who's actually directly dealing with that every day.
Yeah, really just trying to think about all the different things that can come about when we set our mind to building community in the area.
And you're celebrating diversity. It's another thing that you mentioned. And obviously doing that by having a diverse cast of singers. But me as the audience, I may not know that, you know, you have gay, straight, transgender. Does that matter?
That's a good question. I think that you would figure it out just reading the program and all of that stuff. But I think that, you know, actually, as you mentioned, that's a good point. It's important that we make sure that diversity is known.
Well, I think at the end of the day, we want to celebrate the diversity, but we think that it'll be kind of
organic,
more mm-hmm. organic in nature. Yeah, that's a good word.
So how do you think that might be helpful to an audience, or how might that benefit an audience, exposing them to maybe a population that they don't have a lot of contact with, or exposing them to a type of diversity that they're not familiar with? How is that?
Well, let me share a story, a real quick story.
Sure.
First, because it partially answers that question. When I was involved and I first got the idea to form the chorus back in Missouri, I didn't have a speaking relationship with my mother, and we hadn't really talked and had a falling out maybe 5 years prior. I had came out as a younger gay man, and there wasn't really a relationship there. It had kind of fallen by the wayside. We're from a small town, and there was just not a whole lot of acceptance or understanding. You didn't really know of that many people, and who you did know of, you had certain predisposed concepts of who they were and what they would act like. And so my mom had preconceived notions of who I was as a gay man and who gay men were. And so when she came to the first concert that she came to, which was the group's third concert that they put on, I said, well, what did you think? And of course, I was really nervous, and I said, oh, gosh, what's she going to say? And she said, it was just a great concert. And I said, well, what did you think was going to happen? And she said, well, I thought there was going to be lots of flamboyancy, and there was going to be batons throwing, and there was going to be pride flags everywhere, and everybody was going to be sashaying around. And I said, well, I mean, we have songs where we do that when it's appropriate. But, you know, you're not going to sing a song in memorial of a fallen soldier and be sashaying a pride flag around either. and so I think that really speaks to answering that kind of question. You get to people that maybe don't realize that they're around people who are different than them every day. When they come and see a concert, it's just one more way for them to see we're really not that different. You know, we may express ourselves differently at different times, but that's everybody, and that we all have a sense of commonality. And that's what makes this so cool, is that we're using music as an avenue to do that with this particular group.
So if there's a gentleman that would like to get involved, what should they do?
They should visit our website, which is nwamenschorus.org. There's a contact sheet, and fill that out. It will come straight to us.
If you're a Facebooker, you can look us up on facebook.com/NWAmenschorus. You can look for the blue bow tie, which is kind of our signature little logo, and you'll know you've got the right place. And like us on there. We'll be following. Reaching out to all of our followers on the Facebook page as well.
And we're advertising as far south as Fort Smith and as far north as Joplin in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And then we're reaching out as far east as Harrison and Eureka Springs. We just know that because there is not a men's choir of this nature anywhere in Arkansas, we want to cast our net wide and give as many people an opportunity as possible.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much for coming in, and sure. Best of luck with the project. I look forward to seeing it come together.
Thanks for having us.
That was Ryan Fox and Jeff Walker with the Northwest Arkansas Men's Chorus, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. The group will have a kickoff event from 5 to 7 Saturday evening at Maxine's Tap Room. The chorus will begin meeting September 11th at St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Springdale. And the first three rehearsals will be open rehearsals. More information is available at nwamenschorus.org.